Thank you, Lisa, for all the hard work you've been doing. You know, we did get our website back up and running with current sermons on it. Lisa's been working really hard, and we're trying to get a handle on this, and it'll get there. It'll get there. Lord, we praise you and we thank you this morning. What a beautiful day you've given us, Lord. What a beautiful time of year. What a beautiful God you are. Lord, we come this morning seeking you. Seeking you, Lord. Seeking your ways, seeking your words, seeking your will. Lord, have your way here this morning. Open up your word for us. Open up our hearts to receive everything you have for us. And Lord, I pray for your touch on everybody here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple days ago, I read in my Charles Spurgeon morning by morning devotion that I read every morning. This was actually September 18th, so that was, 4 days ago. And the verse he uses, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's from Galatians 5:25. The two most important things in our holy religion are the life of faith and the walk of faith. He who shall rightly understand these is not far from being a master in experimental theology, for they are vital points to a Christian. You will never find true faith unattended by true godliness. On the other hand, you will never discover a truly holy life which has not for its root a living faith upon the righteousness of Christ. Woe unto those who seek after the one without the other. There are some who cultivate faith and forget holiness. These may be very high in orthodoxy, but they shall be very deep in condemnation. For they hold the truth in unrighteousness. And there are others who have strained after holiness of life, but have denied the faith, like the Pharisees of old, of whom the Master said they were whitewashed sepulchres. We must have faith, for this is the foundation. We must have holiness of life, for this is the superstructure. Of what service is the mere foundation of a building to a man in the day of tempest? Can he hide himself therein? He wants a house to cover him as well as a foundation for that house. Even so, we need the superstructure of spiritual life if we would have comfort in the day of doubt. But seek not a holy life without faith, for that would be to erect a house which can afford no permanent shelter, because it has no foundation on a rock. Let faith and life be put together, and like the two abutments of an arch, they will make our piety enduring. Like light and heat streaming from the same sun, they are alike full of blessing. Like the two pillars of the temple, they are for glory and for beauty. They are two streams from the fountain of grace, two lamps lit with holy fire, two olive trees watered by heavenly care. O Lord, give us this day life within, and it will reveal itself without to thy glory. Our opening scripture this morning was Exodus 3, 1 through 10. Actually, I'm going to read a little bit more from it when I read it again. What we read was 3, 1 through 5, but I'm going to read 3, 1 through 10. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land. And a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He said, take your shoes off your feet, for you're standing on holy ground. We sing about holy ground here, don't we? We're standing on holy ground, and I know there are angels all around. What does it mean to take our shoes off? We're going to be talking about feet today. That's a subject you hear a lot about in church, isn't it? Feet and shoes. You know, in 1987, I moved to Oregon. I was having trouble finding work. So they had a local newspaper there called the Central Oregonian, and it had a farmer's column. So I put an ad in the farmer's column saying, stalls cleaned, with my phone number. I got some phone calls. I got to feed my family. But I also ended up with a permanent job after a while there for, well, it was for 3 years until I did get sick in a farmer's lung and I had to stop working there. But when I first started working there, they were building a barn there and they had a crew there, a construction crew, and I was doing other things, exactly what I applied for or what I advertised I would do. But they used to invite everybody in for a big lunch in the house. So naturally, we took our shoes off before we went inside. Because if you're walking around behind animals like llamas or in Moses' case, behind sheep, you're liable to step in something. So we took our shoes off before we went in the house. You know, God knows that we're going to walk through life and we're going to step in something too, doesn't he? And we do. So he wants us from time to time to take our shoes off. Moses. You know, I have this image in my mind of Moses. He thought that it was time to deliver the children of Israel. He believed he was called to do it. But his problem was he was 40 years too early. So he ended up, you know, the lady that adopted him, Pharaoh's daughter, her name was Thermutis, and she had no brothers. She was the only child to Pharaoh. So since she adopted Moses, guess what that made Moses? He was the heir to the throne of Pharaoh. He would have been the next Pharaoh. But he chose the children of Israel. He chose his people to be with, forsaking all the riches of Egypt. And he tried to deliver them. He tried to do it his way. And it didn't work out too well. He ended up running for his life. He ended up in Midian. It says he came to Midian and he sat down by a well. And I can imagine the look on his face like, what happened? What happened? You're just a little too early, Moses. But God showed up 40 years after that and called him to do what he wanted him to do. Moses was walking along one day and he sees this burning bush. And it amazed him because the bush wasn't being consumed. Why wasn't the bush being consumed? Because it was totally yielded to God's purpose. It says in Hebrews chapter 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. And of course, we know that it was the Lord that was inside the burning bush, don't we? In Deuteronomy chapter 33:16, it talks about the Lord. And it says he's the one that dwelt in the bush. The word dwelt in Hebrew is shekan. The word that we most associate with shekan is shekinah. You ever hear that word before? You might have heard it the way most people pronounce it, shekinah. And either way is okay. I'm not going to argue with you if you pronounce it either way. The glory of God. It's a reference to God's holiness in opposition to evil. A burning bush. Take your shoes off, Moses. You're standing on holy ground. God doesn't want any dirty feet around on his holy ground. The book of Joshua. Joshua had been told, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And when Joshua took over from Moses, they entered the land. And they were given an assignment to take the land, to conquer the people that were there. In Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, no. Are you for us or for our enemies? No. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Why did the captain of the Lord's host have his sword drawn? Did he feel he's going to have to attack or defend himself against Joshua? I think he was just making a statement. He was there as a god of war. He was there for the battle. Why didn't Joshua have his sword drawn? Joshua wasn't afraid of the mysterious visitor because he also was yielded to God's purpose. Matthew 10:28 says, don't fear the one that can kill the body. Fear the one that can send your soul to hell. That's still true today, isn't it? But he also told him to take his shoes off his feet. And as I said, we're talking about feet today. We can do a lot of things with our feet, can't we? Don't start kicking your neighbor. That's not on my list. With our feet, we run to. With our feet, we run from. With our feet, we walk through this world. With our feet, we walk away from this world. With our feet, we serve him. With our feet, we disobey him. With our feet, we walk in righteousness. With our feet, we walk in sin. With our feet, we walk in agreement. With our feet, we walk in opposition. With our feet, we walk in courage. With our feet, we walk in fear. With our feet, we walk in faith. With our feet, we walk in doubt. With our feet, we walk in strength. With our feet, we walk in weakness. With our feet, we walk in humility. With our feet, we walk in pride. With our feet, we walk in submission. With our feet, we walk in rebellion. With our feet, we walk in love. With our feet, we walk in hate. With our feet, we walk in the Spirit. With our feet, we walk in the flesh. With our feet, we walk with Jesus. With our feet, we walk with the devil. With our feet, we walk in joy. With our feet, we walk in sorrow. We always have choices, don't we? Deuteronomy 28 is an interesting chapter. You ought to read it sometimes. It's 68 verses long. The first 14 verses tell us what will happen if we obey God. The next 43 verses tell us what happens if we don't. And Israel got to experience every one of those things. With our feet, we can bring a blessing to our lives. With our feet, we can bring a curse. All those negative things attach themselves to our walk, don't they? They dirty our feet, don't they? So what needs to be done regularly to keep us on the right path? I'm going to go to John chapter 13. And I'm going to try to tie this all together. If I don't, at least you got some scripture you could hear. And scripture's always good, isn't it, Will? John chapter 13. Jesus did something very interesting, something very unusual, something that wasn't expected. You know, the Lord likes to do things that aren't expected, doesn't he? Has he ever surprised you? He surprised us the other day, Terry. I like his surprises, as long as I'm yielded to his purpose. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He never stopped loving, even then, did he? He still loves them. He still loves us. Verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. What has to be done before our feet can be washed? We have to take our shoes off, don't we? So you see, it is connected with the other two. You know, actually, I think there's about 25 instances that I could see in the concordance. There may be more than that. It may be worded a little different. But anyway, that talks about washing feet. It's something the priests had to do. The priests had to wash their feet and their hands. But we're told now just to wash our feet, our hands, our actions. Well, apparently that's not mentioned here. What has to be done before our feet can be washed? We have to take our shoes off. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Ephesians 5:25-26. It starts out talking about a husband and a wife. And then it goes on to say, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Malachi Taylor said every clause of this passage from Ephesians is found here in John chapter 13. He loved them, them being the church. He gave himself for them. The supper that they just ate, the feast that they just celebrated, was all about him and his sacrifice. It's called Passover, but Passover was always and is always about Jesus Christ. It says that he might sanctify and separate them to himself, to make them his own. Cleansing with the washing of the water by the word. In my notes, I capitalized the W in word, because they were cleansed by the washing of the water, by the word, weren't they? Yes, we're supposed to read it, but also the word in John chapter 1 is talking about Jesus Christ. It should be noticed that the Lord did not leave the job unfinished. He not only washed their feet, but he also wiped them. Philippians 1:6 says, he that's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So you're going to walk away from a job when it's not done? He's not going to. Otherwise, he wouldn't have started it. John 13:6. I love Peter. I love Peter. He's so much like me. Anybody else in here, can you say that? Do you see Peter in yourself sometimes? Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter wasn't happy with this idea, was he? Why was he upset? Was he insulted because Jesus thought his feet were dirty? Was it because of humility? Maybe he thought he didn't deserve to have Jesus wash his feet. Could be. But actually, I think he felt it was dishonoring to his Lord to be washing feet. One commentator had this to say about that. The truth is, we need to learn from God how to honor him and learn to love according to his mind. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. This too was Peter's mistake. He should have suspected his thoughts and waited in all submissiveness on him who, as many have confessed that knew far less than he did, he had done all things well. It was absolutely what he was saying, truth and love in the same person. The thoughts of God are never as ours, and saints dip into those of man unless they're taught as God, by faith in detail too, as well as in the main. For we cannot, ought not to trust ourselves in anything. God the Father will have the Son honored, and he is honored most when believed in and followed in his humiliation. Peter, therefore, was equally astray when he once ventured to rebuke the Lord for speaking of his suffering and death, as now when he asked, dost thou wash my feet? Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. John 13, verses 7 through 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore said he, You are not all clean. I think I read a little further. That's all right. You can't read too much scripture, can you? No. In the culture of this nature, they would have bathhouses, and people would go, they would cleanse, they would bathe, and then they'd walk back home. And when they got home, they had to wash their feet because their feet got dirty on the way back. We're the same way, aren't we? We were cleansed. We were washed with the blood of Jesus. We were cleansed. But regularly, we still have to have our feet washed. 1 John 1, 9 says, If we sin, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. He's made the provision for it. We need to have our feet washed regularly. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, many of us come to you with dirty feet because we have walked through the world and we've allowed the things of the world to attach themselves to us. And we ask your forgiveness. We ask for your cleansing. And Lord, we ask for your help in navigating through the paths of life. And Lord, Lord, how many times do we have to come to you? How many times do we have to come to you and have our feet cleaned? But you always say it's not too many times. You always say, come to me. When you're in need, come to me. If you seek forgiveness, come to me. I will always accept you. I will always forgive you. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the example that you showed us in John chapter 13. That not only do you wash our feet, but we're supposed to wash other people's feet. I think a lot of that it has to do with forgiveness, Lord. Sometimes it means listening to somebody. And maybe sometimes they really do need to have their feet washed. You are willing to humble yourself. Lord, help us to humble ourselves when we need to. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'd go with each person today, that you'd be with each one of us. And I pray, Lord, you'd keep us close to you and keep us focused on you. And as the world continues to deteriorate, which we knew it would, It shouldn't surprise us that it is. Lord, just keep us strong in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Oh, sure.
Okay. I forgot about that. Well, maybe. Do you need this?
Yeah, I'm going to put the mic right there and then
okay.
Play it.
Go sit down and enjoy. Thank you, Dave.
Blessed are he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are the feet that come in the name of the Lord. I had this song this morning, and I thought it was just, having been here a week, I'm going to be leaving tomorrow and hopefully come back towards the last half of October. And I think this really encouraged me, this song, and I think it'll be an encouragement to those who hear it. Jesus comes and stands at the door and knocks. Let's see. Okay, if you could, there we go.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Your past will be one.